live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Representatives of the Train Drivers Union, ASLEF, are expected to meet officials from the Department of Transport later to try and end a long-running pay dispute. Both sides are understood to be hopeful a deal can be reached. Research suggests 18-year-olds in England are studying a narrower range of subjects at A-level than 20 years ago. Humanities and the arts have both declined. Head of Higher Education Policy Sarah Cowan says the separation of AS and A-level qualifications contributed to the reduction.
There's many different factors at play, and what this report from the British Academy shows is that the decoupling of AS and A-levels in 2015, which is where AS-levels stopped counting towards an A-level, this seems to have been a really important factor.
People are being urged to avoid a 12-mile stretch of the canal between Walsall and Birmingham because of a toxic chemical spillage. Walsall Council said it's too early to say how sodium cyanide got into the water. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Stephen Davis.
When you need a number fast, the only number you need is 118212.
Miss Maureen, the telephone detective, at your service.
Maureen! 118212.
Calls cost £2.50 per call, plus 75p a minute with a minimum 1 minute charge, plus your phone company's access charge.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Business Mix Show.
Good morning, good afternoon, and a very shiny good evening to you all. Welcome to The Business Mix. My name's Chrissy.
And I'm Rachel. And as my wonderful co-host has said, welcome to The Business Mix Show on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things black business from the UK and beyond. We're getting international, aren't we?
And beyond. Why not? And yes. Exactly. My mama told me I was international, so let's go.
No problem. I'm going to ask because, you know, we're British and it's what we do best. How have you been coping with the weather?
It's a good thing. Buildings are meant to keep in heat because of our winter. But by golly, we need something to release the heat. But otherwise, it's smashing, darling.
It's only... maybe 6 days a year, so we're good.
It's only a few days, so I cannot complain. So, Rachel, who have we got on the show? I think we've made it in life, haven't we?
We've made it. I was actually going to say, I mean, the weather, the heat, the tropical kind of, you know what I mean, Caribbean spice is here in the UK. And also here in our little virtual studio,
indeed,
because we have the founders of Flake Bake. We have Mike and Paul Williams with us, who are here to tell us about their story. And I'm actually, the young one say? Gas? I'm actually very excited. Yeah. I'm actually very excited, number one, that they're on the show, and number two, that we get to hear more about the story. You've seen them, unless you've been, as we like
under
to say, living under the proverbial rock.
Yeah.
We know that you've heard the story. We know that you've seen them, but we're going to get a little bit deeper. So welcome to the Business Bits world, and welcome to the studio.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us on the show. Both my dad and I, it's been a crazy few months, but yeah, I'm Mike Williams. I'm one of the founders of Flake Bake, and this is my dad.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I'm Paul Williams.
Hello. Welcome to you. I'm so excited. Mike, I've been running you down like a private investigator. So I'm really happy to have you on today. So as to kick it off, really, please tell us about yourself. And Paul, introduce yourselves, what you do, and your journey so far.
Oh, Dad, you can go first.
Yes. How are you doing today, Chris?
Yes, we are.
We're doing very well.
I'm doing great. So enjoying the weather as well.
Yes.
Well, Flake Bake started between me and my son, Michael. But before Flake Bake, I used to have a bakery before Flake Bake.
I'll tell him the name because she made it.
Of Caribbean Spice. That was the first one.
Yeah.
And Bellingdon Road and stuff like that. So, you know, from there used to be like bread buns and roller cake, puppies and turkey and stuff. Then, you know, the brand sold and started to be puppies only, get rid of the bread and the buns and stuff. And then the Sundays at the puppy and cocoa bread only come to a Kenwood Center. And stuff. So, but it all started 12 years ago.
Yes, it's been a long time actually. Yes. So it's funny because when my dad did have Caribbean Spice, it wasn't just the bakery, it was your Caribbean takeaway type business. So you could come and buy oxtail, your jerk chicken, your curry goat. It was a full on Caribbean takeaway. And I used to work there with my dad a bit. And then I went to uni and then we started working on this concept of a patty business where we just take the patty out of. We'll take the patties out of the existing bakery and we bring it to Penn Art Centre, which is our base now. And we'd only be doing patty and cocoa bread. And so it's been a 12-year journey. And here we are today after all this excitement that we've had. But I have to say that predominantly we are a B2B business that supplies Caribbean takeaways. Mostly, so most of our customers are Caribbean food vendors around Southeast and supply patties to a lot of events and even corporates as well throughout the year. And summertime is our busiest period where we have Nutting Hill, etc. But recently we've just been on TV, as you guys know. One Aldi's next big thing, and I guess that's where things really kicked off, where everyone started to know about us, but we actually have been around for 12 years.
Yeah. Wow. And so for those who have not yet tasted Snake Bake, can you give us a little wonder, how would you describe one of your patties for those who haven't had one yet?
One of the best patties in the UK. If you're not eating Snake Bake patties right now, you're not eating all patties. Trust me.
I feel like I need a foghorn right now. That was like a explosion. That was it. That's the best one of the best patties in the UK. You know what? Is there a competition in the UK?
No, there isn't.
There's not, is there?
There isn't a patty. It's funny enough, there's a patty festival happening this weekend. We're not gonna be there because we're so busy working on all carnival preparations. We just don't have this year was supposed to be the first patty festival, but like my dad says, we are known as one of the best handmade patties in the UK. The biggest handmade patty suppliers in the UK. We manufacture over 20,000 handmade patties a week, which you just won't find other manufacturers doing those kind of numbers unless they've got big machineries, which you have a few out there that's doing it. But we're right behind them now as we're going in hill.
You're literally just behind. You're almost overtaken. I want to ask Paul. You said so many things that you were baking or that you were making because it was takeaway, but also bakery. So when did you start baking? Was it something you was doing as a child? Was it something you saw maybe your people in the kitchen at home and you just followed along and caught it as it was going? How did you start baking?
Well, it all started in Jamaica at an early age. Mm-hmm. It's just my mom baked like pudding, a thing called toto, and you know, all them stuff. So I learned to bake the toto. And after a while, I started to bake toto and sell to my family and neighbor and friends. You know, I mean, that's where it all started. And I was part of it. When I come to England, my cousin stopped one of the biggest Caribbean bakeries, which called Sunstack at the time.
Okay.
And that's where I learned to use big oven, you know, to bake and start to bake like breads and bun and bowl and all them kind of stuff. So that was us. Yes.
So it was definitely a family hand and hand down recipe is inspired, which we like that. And we can see that you carry that through to today because it's family business.
I wouldn't say it's a family recipe. What I'm thinking, I used to bake toto in Jamaica, but that's the story of it is. But I used to bake toto, which I copied from my mom. So when I come to England, my cousins have a bakery. Used to bake like bread and bun and bologna. So that's where I learned to use the big oven. I learned to bake was other product. But in Jamaica, I was taught something to. So I learned how to bake like other product in England, learned to use big oven. That's where it all started.
Got you.
It's for patties. It's something that, so we had the bakery. My dad had the bakery. He was baking bread and all these different products. So we got someone to make patties, and they started making patties for us first. And by the time we transitioned into flake bakes, we developed recipes through trial and error, actually just trying to find the best tasting product that we could work on. So over time, it's just me and my dad that really knows the recipes for these patties that we have now.
Got it. And I hear that you did say a little while ago that you're going to be busy, carnival season is approaching. What kind of have you got in store? Have you got stores? One, two? What are you doing? Or is it top secret?
No. So we are, as a manufacturer, you never really get to see the manufacturers in most cases. So we're not a catering business, so to speak, and stuff. So we don't really do pop-ups and stuff. So we are the people behind the vendors. So if you were a vendor at Nothing Hill, you would come and get your patties from us in the same function where the Caribbean Takeaways, they come and they buy the products from us. So, you know, last year we supplied in the carnival season, I think 40,000 patties. And so this year we're trying to do bigger and better. We're going to try and do about 150,000 patties, which is crazy. But
wow.
It's going across retail. It's going to Nothing Hill. And it's got patties going to Wales. And then we're doing a number of like carnival activations. So we've got printed flake bait t-shirts. We've got some banners going up to carnival. We've got some digital ads going up to carnival. We've got a 60-second promo video coming out on Instagram, but I'm not allowed to mention Swiss yet for that, I guess. We've got branded flake bait patty bags. So yeah, we've got lots of stuff coming out for carnivals because it's our busiest part of the year. So it's going to be a big one this year. So from 40,000 to 150 is crazy.
Ooh. And how has that been? I don't know whether to ask this question now or if we're going to go on to it, but we'll go on to it a bit more just about how you've taken that leap and that step. Like you said, going from 40 to 120, like tripling kind of your output, but maybe we'll think we come on to that a bit later. So I'm not going to jump the gun. So I guess lastly, what do you have once carnival kind of done, as you said, what have you got in store? Can you tell us what's kind of coming next?
Well, the whole thing is that it probably goes into the whole Audi thing. So we've been working hard to get back on Audi's shelves because, as you know, we sold out in Audi. So everything that we talk about is how do we get to the point where we can get the products back on shelves. So beyond Audi, we're trying to look at which other avenues we could actually sell our products because everyone wants the product. We do have an online shop now, which we never had before. So people can order patties at flakebait.co.uk. And patties come right to your door anywhere in the UK. So we're trying to build our online presence as well. I can't really say a lot of what could happen or what will happen after carnival, but you guys
we're gonna have to wait and see. All right, we'll keep our eyes peeled, as they say.
We're going to have to wait and see. You like to keep us in suspense, but that's not a problem.
So
you've spoken about carnival and what you'd be doing. So I mean, the pros and cons about expanding a business such as yours. First, I want to know, how did the opportunity to appear on the Audi's Next Big Thing come about? You know, and how did you prepare for such a massive opportunity?
You know what? I always credit my friend Eugenia Pierre because she sent me this message saying, I think this program is really good and you should apply. And I did play with the idea of applying, but you know, thought TV, do I want to be on TV, etc., etc. And you know, most people are shy, and I'm definitely one of those people that didn't really want to go in front of the camera. But then I felt like I had nothing to lose because I'd gotten to a point where we'd been running the business for about 10 years and I was really tired and I wanted to do something different. And my dad was in agreement that we were going through some challenging periods post-COVID. It's a very difficult time. And that's really how I found out about the opportunity. And the reason why I applied is because I felt like, we, you know, at this point, you know, if we're struggling so much and I didn't really want to do this anymore, this would be my last shot at seeing where I can take the business. Wow. So
yeah,
that's how it came about. And that's why I applied.
Yeah. So I guess, as we said, pros and cons. So I, like you said, it was almost for you, like just the last shot at this to see how far could you really take this. You've got, and then you've done the Elders Express thing, amazing, you won it. How has this impacted you on, or should I say your business, on a day-to-day basis? So like your day-to-day operations, whereas before, you know, you might, I don't know how many emails you were getting. Now, how many emails are you getting per day? How are you responding? How are you actually, I guess, coping with the changes that this has brought along?
I think instantly, so the TV show comes out, Olympic, go a week before the TV show. So we had an influencer called Eating with Todd, who would come down to the bakery and he did a video for Instagram and TikTok. And I remember when that video released, we had about 500,000 views in day one.
Oh, wow, wow.
And all of a sudden, whether it's the phone, the emails, it was just blown up on. And after 4 days, we had 2 million views. So everybody was asking, who are these people? Where can we get the patties? Yeah. And it definitely went on for a few months where people were just turning up from everywhere to try your patties. And like I said, we are not a shop. We are a manufacturer. But we still sell the patties. People turned up, so we sold the patties. And then a week from when that viral video went out with Todd, the TV show comes out. And then people then heard that they could get these patties in Aldi. And so within 48 hours, all 25,000 units that Aldi had ordered sold out. And every, you know, we had so many interviews. We were contacted by the BBC, ITV, Channel 4. So it was just back-to-back on TV. Newspapers, and quite a few newspapers. I think the following morning, we were on BBC Radio as well. So it was very intense. I have to say, it was very intense. We met a Jamaica High Commissioner. Lots of stuff was happening that we almost couldn't, I don't know if we could even cope with it really, because it was happening so fast. And that led to Aldi going from 25,000 units to ordering 100,000 units. And we weren't really supposed to be back in because it was just a special buy. That you win the TV show, you get a special buy, and you know Alden's special buy, it works. It goes in store. When it finishes, it finishes. Yeah. And there were 6 different categories on the TV show, and we were the only winners from in our category. So 6 categories, 6 winners, and we were the only people who got like a reorder almost straight away, and it was 4 times the original amount. And when those patties went in a month later, the sales, when we sold 80,000 within 1 week. So
that is such a well done, major achievement. And I think it's so
impressive.
Yeah, I think it's just it's testimony to the product, as they say. Because if it wasn't a good product, then perhaps they wouldn't have done the reorder and like that. But they were like, listen, it made business sense to them. So they continued with their ordering. Sorry, Chrissy, you were going to say.
So, I was just going to say, how did you manage, you know, the shop front as well as the program and the kind of the process of going through that, the TV show? I mean, I want to know about what you had to do to get through that TV show process. Was it arduous? Was it quite simple?
I know, it's intense because when you're dealing with Aldi is the second largest retailer across Europe, so they're quite massive. And in the UK, they had 1,000 stores. So the basis of the program was they wanted to find small independent manufacturers or suppliers that they could help upscale to supply Audi. But again, it was really based on this one-off order. And if you did well, there's the potential to supply again, in the future. So you're competing against some of the best independent food businesses on this TV show. And it was intense because it's like a Dragon's Den style pitch, but also like a Bake Off style competition where we have to go and you have to prepare your product, but also you have to prepare a pitching tray. So we designed ours because it's a Jamaican patty, we designed ours like a beach with deck chairs and everything. And then we had all patties on some of these deck chairs and some plates for them to try it. And each person went up and we had to pitch to the managing director of buying, Julie Ashfield, for Audi. And she was asking questions about how much you could supply, shelf life of the product, costings and that kind of thing, because for them, they needed to make sure that product would be a good fit for the store and for their customer base. Yeah. So yeah, it was quite nerve-wracking when we were going through the process, because everybody knew that this opportunity could really change their lives. You know, even just being on TV would have been good enough for us, but winning the TV show, it was always going to be tough because we were up against people who had one person had like, I think, 2 Great Taste Awards. So we were thinking, well, our product is nowhere near theirs, but we beat them. So I guess we were good enough.
And you were more than good enough. You were better. Absolutely. Yeah. Did you encounter any, I guess, hurdles along the way? So you have spoken actually a bit about something that we mention quite a lot about on the show, which is, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're running your own business, you can end up feeling like you're doing everything. And like you said, you off of the, well, even before the program, you obviously had an influencer, like social media can just sometimes make or break businesses, depending on which way it goes. Then you go onto the TV show. Then you've got, as you said, ITV, Channel 4, BBC, London, all knocking at your door. How did you cope with that kind of pressure, workload, while still having to maintain your everyday business, your manufacturing? What were the kind of hurdles that you would say, apart from, you know, your entrepreneurial kind of mental health and well-being, was there anything else that you kind of found a challenge, should we say?
Mike, this is Mike. That it was like, hence, because we have the original, the existing business, which is the factory that was
absolutely,
and the parties already something, and then we had, it was customer dealing with, and then all the things, it was a lot of work, but you know what, we managed to get by, you know what I mean? It wasn't easy, but thank God, you know what I mean? We get by and it's still working. And bless Michael, and you know, because he's the boss. He's the one who does most of the work. And without him, it couldn't happen.
Did you hear that, Mike?
Yeah. My dad's been a supporter of this project. It's a massive project. And like I said, a lot of it, you know, you dream of this thing happening, but you can't really understand what the true impact is until you actually see it happening. So like literally the phones are ringing nonstop. Like the phone just wouldn't stop ringing. There'll be 5 to 10 people on hold at any given point. And we never had that before. We never had, because only a B2B, you know your customers and you know roughly when they want to start. And so you'd either call them up or they will drop you a message saying, you know, can we have our order or usual order, that kind of thing. And we were consistent in how we're supplying patties, but It's the individual customer, because they saw the product online or they saw it on the TV show, and these individual customers are ringing you, asking you for the product. And at the speed that they were sending out, there was definitely more demand than supply. So it just went on for months where people just kept calling, when are we getting the patties back in Audi? We can't find it, or it's sold out. Which Audi is it stopped in?
Is it in? Yeah,
and it's 1,000 stores. You don't know where all the 1,000 stores are. We don't truck stock. We're just suppliers.
So they supplier. Make
we supply the goods. We have no idea about the itinerary. So
I wanted just to mention, you know how we always say, it's always a thing like we don't support each other. The black community don't support black businesses. How did you find the support from your community? I think you're already saying that you had, you know, people coming in and you become a trend, a TikTok, you know, sensation. Like, how did the community react to your successes, I guess?
I mean, people were proud. And I have to make this caveat in saying that we were always supported by the community because they were who were selling these 20,000 patties to every week beforehand, before the TV show. We were selling the Caribbean takeaway. So I've never had that thing where we're not being supported because our baseline were our community, you know? So when the product went national, people were just proud to see it, especially the business owners. They were proud to see a product they'd been selling all these years, getting an level of exposure because they knew the product was good. It was a matter of everybody else finding out. And we saw a lot of that. People saying, I've been buying those patties for years. Or, you know, I travel up from Birmingham or from Oxford to buy those patties. I know those patties. So it was a lot of support and it was a lot of pride because you don't often, Aldi had never sold a patty before. So this was the first Jamaican patty they were ever going to sell in town. And so, yeah, the support was huge from family, friends. Even in Jamaica, people were proud. People were just proud everywhere. Even my dad's bank manager in Jamaica would be messaging it. Then we saw it. Yeah, everybody saw it. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Even in the kind of professional and corporate space, we had a lot of support from the corporate community. Again, it's just seeing a product in a space where people wouldn't have normally seen that particular type of product. So it was hard to ignore it. Even the other, I'm going to call them competitors, they definitely said, you know, well done on what you've done. You've opened up the market in a way it's never been done before. So it was good. It was good for the community. It was good for family. It was a great thing for us. It was really special support.
I mean, absolutely. Like that large retailer kind of space gives you such visibility. It gives you, you know, such you become a household name. Like you said, whereas before you may be in a community name, now it's national, even international. People will know the Flake Break brand. How have you found kind of keeping or maintaining the authentic Flake Bake brand alongside having to meet the expectations of a large retailer? Has there been any kind of tensions, or actually you found that it's been quite easy to manage the both? Do they kind of go hand in hand?
I think working with Aldi being really supportive. So it's been an interesting dynamic because normally if you're a supplier into retail, they'd have requirements and you just have to try and meet them. The difference was we were a small independent. So Aldi already know you're not going to meet these requirements. So they were helping.
Got you.
Meet them. So it was a support chain which you wouldn't have had in a normal setting.
Normal situation. Yeah.
Now when we speak to other retailers or food service businesses in terms of getting our product to market, it's we have to figure these things out by ourselves and trying to meet them. But it's because of the experience with Aldi, I know a lot more than I did before, and I'm able to kind of look at some of these things that they're requiring. And so, yeah, that's how we've been able to balance it. We've just had a lot of support from Aldi, and that's what people can't see. They can't see the support that we're getting in the background.
And that's important as a smaller retailer. I'm sorry, as a smaller supplier, it's important, as you said, that you get that support from the larger retailer. Because, you know, traditionally, the large supermarkets are known for getting as much quantities for as low price as possible. That's kind of the theme that we have, or the thought that we have of them. So the fact that, as you said, I guess that's been different for you. And I guess that's part of the Aldi brand and the kind of like the Aldi mission as well, is to support these smaller businesses that are coming up. Would you have any, I guess, advice to any other small businesses, Black business owners who are coming up, if they're considering or thinking that actually I'd like to get my product stocked on some retail shelves? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I could probably give you a whole presentation on it. It's a very difficult thing. It's very, very difficult. Of course, we've gone through an unconventional route, which is the TV show. And I think there's another series next year, because this one was quite well received. So from my experience, I'd say to anybody, if you've got a product that can be scaled at an efficient sales price level, then definitely apply for Aldi's Next Big Thing 2025. It's a great experience. It gives you insights into the industry that you wouldn't have gotten elsewhere. It's a fast track. It's a fast track to the FMCG space. And that's what happened to us. We went from like crawling to driving an F1 car overnight. And that's what it feels like. So definitely, I would say apply for the show. In a normal setting, you have to get your products what they refer to as shelf ready. So get your product. You find yourself a manufacturer. If you want to go to a retailer, you need to be able to manufacture the volumes. So you're going to find a manufacturer to work with. You're going to need some samples for that product. Get your products ready to go. You're going to need a pitch deck that you can send to any particular retailer or buyer who'd be interested in your product. So have all the right information. Make sure your product's gone for testing. So if it's food, so we're in food, so we need to have the good leverage slides. We needed a minimum 10 days, and I think all products currently at 13 days shelf life. Have package that stand up, you'd be good packaging. So people could identify with your product, and you know, it doesn't just get lost on the shelves, because there's thousands of products out there. So you need to be able to make yours stand out. But be active on social media, because whenever I apply for anything, there's always that question, what's your social media angle? So they want to see how much work you're doing to promote the product yourself, because if you're not, then they're going to think, well, it's going to be difficult to get someone to come and take that product off the shelf. That's kind of, these are just things that you have to do to get your product out there.
So just as you were speaking, I've been making notes, and I've got basically 4 P's that you've just said. So get a pitch deck, get your product samples, make sure your packaging is on point and meets whatever requirements is needed, and your presence. So your social media, your marketing, you've got to be out there. People have to know who you are. And I guess you have to have had you need some kind of current track record of what your sales are like. Do you know, I guess knowing your numbers, which should be in your pitch deck, you need to be able to demonstrate that actually, yes, a product is doing well and it's got the potential to, there's another P, potential. Show your potential. He's got to show that you've got potential to do more. So if you're listening, anyone that's listening and you've got some products and you're thinking, how can you get it on the shelves? I think you've just probably, people will pay thousands for that kind of talk just there, which we've just given away for free. So hopefully.
My dad's laughing.
Why is that laughing?
Because people charged us thousands and thousands. Thankfully, we never went ahead with it. But people charged us thousands to solve some of these problems.
We are just here to support and as well, Black Brothers, you know, whatever they're doing as well, stunts there. It's on point, get the product right, be the best in what you're doing, you know what I mean? No shortcut, it's something to you. You want to be the best in what you're doing, I mean, for them, say, social media, the thing, and the way forward, marketing, very important, you know what I mean? So those are the tips, and it's not rocket science. You know, MOP always go in your direction and ask Christian. That's all I need to do.
Yeah. And I guess, lastly, before we get your social media handles, which are very, very important for us to have, what do you think, even if it's not just for you particularly, But there may be other, as you said, other businesses, other product-based businesses out there. What kind of doors can this open? So getting into the retail space, as it were, what kind of doors can you envisage that you will open?
I mean, it gives credibility. So you're dealing with any major retailer. Once you're there, if you went to another retailer, the first thing you're going to say, I'm already supplying X. And then straight away, that retailer that you're trying to pitch to now feels more comfortable because they already know that, all right, to get on a retailer's shelf, you have to go through all of these things or jump through all these hoops. So if you're into one, it does make it easier to have the next conversations because it is very difficult to get into these things. Like, you have to think that even big brands, they're always pitching new products to retailers, and they don't automatically get it because they're a Heinz or because they're a Kellogg's. They don't automatically get their product on the shelf. So you really have to stand out. And definitely, if you are supplying one retailer, it does make it easier to have the additional conversation. Plus, it gives you data. So you mentioned that you have to know your numbers. In retail language, we didn't know our numbers. We didn't know how many patches we were going to sell. And you can't know because you've yet to sell into the retail space. Mm-hmm. And they talk about how many products per store you sell per week, you know, rate of sale. You won't know these kind of things at the start. And now we know what our rate of sale is based on what we've done in the past. They're quite high. But we wouldn't have known this kind of stuff. But once you're in, it definitely opens the door for other conversations. And it also allows you to understand margins more. So what kind of money can be made and how to price products and pitch your products. And like I said, it gives you just access to a better network because now you're in the game, you're working with retailers, manufacturers, distributors, and so you understand more of how this space works.
And have you, as a result of this experience that you've had and where you are now with the business, what would you say, or can you give an example of a real life working example for people to illustrate something that you've had to change? Perhaps it was a way that you were working before, maybe it was, your number of staff or something that as a result of this growth, you've now had to do something completely differently. Do you have an example of what that is?
So many different things. Yeah, naturally, because of the demand, we do have more staff. But, you know, we've gone from working with local takeaways and independent food businesses to working with a big manufacturer, a big retailer. So, yeah, it definitely feels a lot more corporate, a lot more small. There's constantly meetings because kind of things to go wrong. Things are a lot more serious, a lot more strict. And the level of compliance when you're in a retail.
Compliance.
And this is why you need to partner with big tie manufacturers that are BRC accredited, because if something goes wrong, they will have to be able to track that, you know, if you use, minced chicken, they will be able to track that mince right back to, you know, the meat factory, where it was from, whatever. They have to track this stuff all the way back to identify if there's any errors. So, yeah, it does change a lot. It's a lot more formal. It's a lot more strict. And it's extremely compliant. You have to be extremely compliant in that system.
So you've got to have all your ducks lined up, everything in order, that paperwork, that paper trail needs to be tight and solid. So in case anyone was thinking, what's BRC? Is that the British Retail Consortium?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So it's the highest level of accreditation you can get.
I guess even if you're not at that stage yet where you need that accreditation, it's good to look into it. So that when you can see in your growth and you're developing, you have an idea of the kind of levels and the kind of standards that you're going to need to be held accountable to.
I must mention that a lot of the retailers do accept Salsa accreditation, so you don't have to be BRC, but places like Aldi, Waitrose, M&S, you have to be BRC, so you have to be at the highest accreditation level, and it's like BRC AA. But Salsa is more than acceptable for places like Asda, Tesco's, Morrison's, and you know, for even for more independent wholesale as well, that's like Salsa is acceptable, and for service as well. But if you want to, you know, just be at the top of the game, and I think when we feel like we're the best patty manufacturers, we want to be working with the best, and you know, and it's not that sometimes sometimes I feel like when you're from our community, things are a lot more difficult. So so that's why I like to just say, yeah, just go for the best. But you don't have it to get into some retailers.
Got it. And I guess this is just an example of how you just never stop learning in business, because I guess, or maybe, did you know before this kind of part of your journey that were you already accredited to BRC and Salsa? Was this something that had to come kind of like through your work?
No, we never, like, again, things like BRC, Salsa, more attainable as a small business, but we never focused on retail because margins, the cost of being compliant at that level, it is quite costly. You have to have like technical teams or a technical person that could easily be costing you 40 grand a year to have the never went asked to retail because of that strict level of compliance. And yes, you know, we're very strict when it comes to or food safety stuff, but again, it's just the next level when you come to supply the retailer, like I said. So yeah, we knew these things were a necessity, and that's why we partnered up with big manufacturers, because they have more experience in these areas. And then the big retailers, they're more comfortable to work with you once they know you're working with people that know what they're doing.
Well, and I have to say, I'm very, I'm glad that you took that step, that you decided to take that last shot and you went for the TV show. Really pleased. And we just look forward to seeing where you go next, what happens next. We'll be following your journey intently. We may even pick up a patty at Carnival for one of the vendors if we're allowed out. And just, yeah, once more, congratulations. Thanks for coming on. And like I said, keep us, we will definitely stay in the loop with where you go. So, yeah, well done. Well done, Paul. And well done, Dad. Well done, Mike, too.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much. No worries. Well, I think Chrissy had a bit of a connection problem, but I'm still here. And it's just
the Business Mix Show.
Trying to sell you no dreams, but I got everything you need. Maybe it's a shopping spree. I can do that. I can provide you peace. Let me do that, and we can switch up the tempo. Follow me, baby. Just let me lead. Take you where you wanna be. It can all be so simple. Don't go against the beat. My hands on you, your hands on me. The scent of your body is stuck on my clothes. I know. It's all in my head, I can't wait to get you back home. And girl, I'll be kissing your body, touching all over, making love to your mind. I can see the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me chase. Ride the rhythm. Kissing your body, touching all over, making love to your mind. I can see the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me chase. Ride the rhythm.
Here we go again. You know when you wanna be, set your mental free. Don't worry about what used to be. Here we go again. Girl, let's create what we wanna see. Baby, let the vision breathe. Friends with benefits, ay. Tons of benefits, ay. We gon' have them watching. Girl, get into this, ay. So magnificent, ay. Tell me who gon' stop it. The scent of your body is stuck on my clothes. I know. You're all in my head, I can't wait to get you back home. And girl, I'll be kissing your
your body, touching all over, making love to your mind. I can see the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me change.
Oh, ride the rhythm, baby, ride the rhythm.
Kissing your body, touching all over, making love to your mind. I can see the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me change.
Oh, ride the rhythm, baby.
Your body touching all over, making love to your mind. I can feel the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me change. Ride the rhythm, ride the rhythm. Kissing your body, touching all over, making love to your mind. I can feel the fire burning when I look in your eyes. Don't make me wait, don't make me
change.
Put quality time in. He's not around, that's the time that I'm in. Can't get mad, man, I'm here on assignment. Missionary, you're scary, blinding. What make nigga like you think? She ain't on the next thing, smoking if you blink. Drunk off that drink, I just pulled up a mink. Bent over with a face in the bathroom sink. I'm so unapologetic, your tactics are so pathetic. You sure fall, bro, you don't get it. Do dirt, then jump in the hole you dug. There's a reason that your girl gave me your love. Still on that gangsta, keep a 4-5 on me, one man on me, try on me, I burn your skin before you drown, just need to learn to swim, you got rats all around you, so cops a call, this is washed up like floors in the mall, I move like Usher, cause she ain't got a call, on a dark block with a mouth full of b****s, it's all love with you, it's an argument, I listen when she speaks, you knew she was a freak, play hard to get till I caught her in the club, but the girl really couldn't wait to give me your love. I'm on FaceTime. Soon as she gets back, man, her face is mine. When we see each other, she says it's about time. We hug, we kiss, and the drawers are mine. Goes down on her knees, and the drawers are mine. My phone's on silent, paying you no mind. Backing that thing up, I'm on my grind. Kirk Franklin in every line, no lies. Goes down, then it's bound to rise. So heartless, if he dies, he dies. She'll never be what she was. So go cry in the car, cause she gave me your love.
Check your balance. First of all, check and balance. and my team say, say we got land on my game, I love for you guys to balance. Me, I get it, but I say, big assurance, more bill. Me, I get the money in abundance. And we get the girls with the rushes. They won't touch us cause we got more cash. Yeah, 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 cause we got more cash. Girl, I like the bad guys all nice. And I see you make you feel alright. Yeah, you feel my vibe. And no lie, yeah, I'm so nice. Cause last, last, we got there alright. Passes banging, the girls, they turn up. Demand them ball up. Plenty shy, you spray your money. Make me journey. Make me turn up over this party. Shamaya, Wale. Ekwane, see, gong, gong, Wale. Girl, you so nice, yeah.
Dance them a dance. In the club them a move, them a move. Head to the front, yash to the back. Now all them a them want to attack. First of all, check and balance. Check your balance. First of all, check and balance. Check your balance. Yo. Dance them a dance. In the club them a move, them a move. Head to the front, yash to the back. Now all them a them want to attack. First of all, check and balance. Check your balance. First of all, check and balance. Check and balance. Check your balance.
Hit the skins better shelter. Love to tap her on the shoulder, roll her over, then I belt her. Leave a bite when the joint is tight. Lovely when it's loose, produce the proper juice. Plus I never hump a juice. Give me the head on the waterbed. Play you like a brokehead. Slide the flavors on the sled. Listen to what he said. Come and lie on the bear skin. Notice how the fur make him grin. Cover the checks and then I go cash him in. Hold the zipper, unlock and grab the whole bag of treats. Hear the hooker slam the butcher with the biggest stack of meats. Take two hands to hold it, flip it out and unroll it. If you spot a brother larger than the next man, stole it. Uchi cool now, you know the mecca wanna bang bang. Begging a pardon as I knock a new skin spank thing. CL, kicking flavors with the grand poobah. Speaking on the winds, I'm about to hit the skins.
Be careful, I take precaution before I slide up in the slit. Man, that, I put aluminum foil on my cause if you catch it, boy, that's to kill you quick. Better yet, you can pass me a Ziploc, a bag of boom and a 40, then some boot knock. I get stiff and it's hard like Charles Bronson. That's kind of fucked up with happening to Magic Johnson. But anyway, you know the resume. Time to drop the jabos and parlay. Hey, I rock the world of a big body girl. Won't hit the skins if she got a Jerry Curtis. When I jump into my thing, I make the bed spring sing. And you can ask my old fling, who's the bedroom king? Hit the skins hard, she hang on to the bedpost. Then I drop my load and get up and make some French toast. Run and get the paper in, it won't be the post. After that, you know the flavor, I'm ghost.
That's right. Come on. Yeah. With the funky flavors. This off right quick.
Put it on.
The skins there forever wins. Cozy like my Timbs and brims. But never heard a bigger limb around the rim. Set the hurdle in the proper girdle. Sum it up surgical. Lay down the pubic and the stuff won't curdle. I got the remedy for competition if any. Sleeping with the enemy who never got a pretty penny. Skins I whip, check the lower lip, pal of mine. Now you know the Pete Rock skins all the time.
Oh, Pete Rock, raw as I ever been. Give me room so I can speak about the skins. Take a tidbit. But God, can you dig it? Your sisters play me close and they want my beeper digits. Cause I love them undercover, the chocolate boy wonder. Break like an earthquake, booming like thunder. Tell the honey dip the blouse. Slip in the house, sip the stout, rip the boots and I'm out.
Like the Isleys apply these in between the sheets. Follow yes another trailers if I had on cleats.
Rip my way through a negligee, park it like a valet. Sure it's okay, just met the skins yesterday. Tap the baggy drawers, lay the Lord's lovely, puff it up. Pull the ride, honey, buckle up, smearing all your makeup. CL can wreck it well, a bombshell finishing. So get the tunnel vision on how I hit the skins.
Complete. You gotta flash dollars to prove her, and when you do, she sucks it up like a Hoover, taking all your papes like inhalation of vape. Her nasal passage filled with money, and it's massive.
What I have is what I have.
Well, what you are is a stunt man. You're on a hunt, and your plan is to take all you can from my man and scram. I seen your kind before, you're not original, just a sick mixed up individual, giving up the crotch for a fresh gold watch, marking off the good you get, going up another notch. Your ways and actions are like those of a savage. If the price is right, then anyone can ravage. Even Monty Hall can have himself a ball if his assets are in order. What's really scary is you're somebody's daughter, so don't come.